It's a psalm of deliverance, and part of it says that he sent his word and healed them. Say, he sent his word and healed them. Okay, in John chapter 1, John lays out this beginning, this kind of, this different way for us to look at the beginning from what Genesis says, and he tells us that Jesus is the word. Right? Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. So he sent forth his Word and healed them. Jesus is the Word. That tells us that Jesus came to heal. Amen? Okay, so healing is a part of the full gospel. As we talk about, the full gospel is this restoration of life, the way that God created us, the way that he designed Adam in the garden and desires for us all to make it back to. Healing is a part of that, and so it's really not a coincidence that I'm going to preach on healing today and like half of the church is out sick, okay? This is kind of the way the enemy works, okay? But that's okay. So it's God's desire for us to be restored to this whole life like they had in the garden. This includes healing, okay? I know I just preached on the body, right? How we're going to have a glorified body at Christ's return. All problems are gone, right? All sickness, all disease is gone. But I want to tell you that God still works miraculously in healing the body today, right? This is still something that he does. And if you think about if he didn't, that example I shared last week about grace, it was Keith Morris who it was, but you know, if he didn't have God's grace, God took it away from him for 3 days and he couldn't even tie his shoes, is what he said. He literally sat and looked out the window for like 3 days till God gave his grace back. So there's a lot of things we can do in life that we kind of take for granted. There's a lot of times that we are probably healed that we don't know that we're healed. There's a lot of times that we're healed in ways where we may give credit to something that we've done, but God still heals. This is what Jesus came to do. Do you know that when Jesus came, that healing came? Right? When Jesus came, healing came. That's what I was getting at earlier. He sent his word, and his word healed them. It's part of what he purchased on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Okay, so Peter here is speaking some of the words of Isaiah 53. Okay, it's kind of like when you share the Bible, sometimes you may kind of paraphrase it. You're like, this is what the verse says. It's not exactly word for word. It's what he's doing here. He's sharing part of Isaiah 53, and he says it in the past tense. Okay, Isaiah says, "By whose stripes you are healed," are. Okay, like it's gonna be, it's gonna happen. It can happen, it will happen. Peter says, "By whose stripes you were healed." And when you think about this being a past tense, okay, how many of you guys have some physical issues that you are not currently healed of? Okay, we think about it, we read this verse, and a verse like this can make us think, well, it says I was healed, like it's already happened. Why am I not experiencing that in my life? What you've got to understand is that healing is actually a spiritual right that we have in Christ. You guys get that? It's a spiritual right because it's something spiritually Christ has already paid for on the cross. So it's already been purchased in the spiritual. And I know that we have skeptics, and that's okay. I know that some may doubt this, and that's okay as well. And some of you maybe have had some bad experiences with this. Some of you have maybe had bad experiences where, you know, in somebody praying for healing, how many of you have ever been told that, well, God heals, and if you haven't been healed, then it's just because you don't have enough faith? Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay, I've heard that before, and I wanted to punch the person. I know it's not very godly, but I'm just saying I don't receive that, okay? I don't receive that as a reason for why we don't receive healing. But we hear that a lot. Bad experiences, part of it is you don't have enough faith, and we'll touch on that a little bit later, but some of us have just not really heard the real biblical meaning of healing and what it really means, how it really is applied, how the subject really is for us. Okay, so you need to know two things to start off, that healing is for today, okay, and healing is for you, okay? If you are a child of God, healing is for you. It's not something that's only for certain people. It's all over the New Testament, and many times we see Jesus ministering these healings, okay? But if you go and you read through, it's also in the book of Acts, it's also in Hebrews, it's also in James, it's also in 1 Peter, and on top of that, this verse that we read last week, Jesus tells us to heal. Matthew 10:8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you've received, freely give. And so we got to look at this verse and see that this is actually a command that Jesus gives to his followers. Think about the wording that he uses. He doesn't say, you know, if you'd like to, go and heal somebody. If it's something that you should think about, maybe give it some consideration. No, he says, go and heal the sick. Go and cleanse the lepers. Go and raise the dead. Go and cast out demons. He tells us to do these things. And so today I'm gonna look at a story, an account in the Bible of an awesome healing that Jesus does. And I think there's some hidden nuggets in this story that really might show us why sometimes we don't receive healing. And we're going to go through this, and I'm going to close out. We're going to look at several of the times that Jesus healed. But in case I forget later, I've got a paper on the table out there that has all of Jesus's healings in the New Testament. It's got them all listed, and then it's got what gospel they're in, because some of them are in all four of them. Okay, so get that on your way out. It's something you can look at. You can go back. You can study. It's a great resource to have. I hope they're all right. They're all correct, because hopefully I didn't get mixed up with all the columns. But if any of them are wrong, let me know if I put it in the wrong spot. But all right, so John chapter 5, if you want to turn there, or it'll be on the screen here. Starting in verse 2, it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease that he had. Okay, so I want you to kind of picture the scene. Picture what it looks like here. I was going to get a picture and actually show it kind of what this would look like, but most of this is in ruins. This double pool here that he talks about is actually still there in Jerusalem. There's a church that is built around it. But if you picture the scene in Jerusalem, right? Hot, dry climate. Okay, this is a place where they would have, the city would have been surrounded by walls. Okay, so you got stone walls, and here you have this sheep gate through the wall. This sheep gate would have been the place where a shepherd would have come through with his what? Sheep. Man, you guys are smart. Okay, so that's what the sheep gate's for. The shepherd would come through with the sheep. Okay, and as he would come through there, they would come to this double pool. Now, get the picture. This is where these people are hanging out at. So there's two pools. Now, when we look at a pool, it's not like the pool I've got in the yard over there. It's not like the pool you'll see, like, you know, downtown Effingham. This would have been a pool made completely of stone, down, you know, had some steps down it where you could, you know, kind of set and got in it. It would have been about deep enough that, you know, maybe chest high or so. And this pool, the first one was for the sheep. The first one was actually for the sheep to go into to get cool or to get cleansed, and the other one was for the people, usually the shepherds, who were as dirty as the sheep, okay? That's where they spent all their time. And so if you picture this, this is not a pool for swimming, but pools for cooling and cleansing. And this double pool, one for the sheep, one for the people, if you look around, it's completely stone. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever tried to walk barefoot on the concrete when it's hot outside here? Like, it'll burn your feet. It gets so hot. This is the scene that we're looking at. It's hot, right? Hot stone. And here we have these five porches. OK, Okay, these five porches. These would have been like what we would call like a gazebo or something, right? But they're also made out of stone. These five overhangs where there's a little bit of shade, a little bit of coolness underneath it, a little bit of break from the sun. And as you look around, sick people everywhere. Everywhere. He says, a great multitude. A great multitude is Bible speak for more people than what you would care to try to count, right? It's like so many people, like there's no point in even putting a number on it. It's just a ridiculous amount of people laying everywhere. You know what? They did not just lay there for the day. Most of them laid there around the clock, day in, day out. Okay. Now, use one of your senses here. Pretend like you're using your nose here. Sheep, shepherds, dirty, stinky, people laying everywhere who laid there around the clock, sick, probably couldn't even half of them get into the pool to cleanse or cool a little bit if they wanted to. It's probably not a real pleasant place to be. And these people would lay there and lay there, and they would just wait for their moment. Remember what it said? It said that the water would bubble up. It said that an angel would come down and stir it. The first would get in. Historians have shown in this pool there was an actual spring underneath that would cause it to bubble up. Most of the theological reasoning would be that actually that it was a supernatural cause to make it actually bubble up. And sometimes it would only do it maybe once in a year. So these people are laying there day after day after day for their one shot, one time this year. And who's going to get in there first? Probably the person who needs it least, right? It's going to be the person who can get around the best. It's going to be the person who's close to the edge or who can see it and jump up from that shade and run and jump in the water. And these people would just wait and wait and wait. And this place was called Bethesda. Bethesda means the place of outpouring. Another meaning in another, one in Greek and in Hebrew, another one is the house of grace. So this was the place of outpouring. It was the place where they knew that something would happen supernatural. We could receive something that we can't get anywhere else, and it's worth the wait if you're sick enough. Verse 5 says, now then a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there, he already knew that he'd been in that condition a long time, and he said to him, do you want to be made well? This certain man. John says it like this, like, you know, this isn't just a story that he heard. It's not just this happened one time, but he remembers there was this man. Like, I can picture him. I can tell you. I can see him. I can remember the smell again. Like, I can go right back to that day. This certain man, this specific instance, this is one of the indications that this is not just a parable, right? This is not just a story to get us to understand something. This is a real life event that actually happened. And so he says, this is one of Jesus' miracles. It's like he's saying, this one time I remember this man who was sick for 38 years. Jesus comes and he sees him lying there. Now think about this. He's lying there with everybody else. A multitude of people. A great multitude. So many that you couldn't count them. And Jesus saw this certain man. Now, I want to tell you something, just something about that. This right here just oozes the love of God, the heart of God, that in the multitude of people that Jesus recognized this certain man. How many of you have ever felt like I'm just one person in just a sea of people? Right? I'm just one person in a multitude of people, and surely God doesn't really care about my need, about my condition. Surely God has people that are more sick than me or more needy than me or there's some reason why he can't see me in this group of people. Anybody ever felt that way, or is it just me? Am I the only one? There's a few of us. I want to tell you that no matter your situation, no matter the sea of people, that God sees you and he sees your situation. That just as he walked up and for some reason, somehow, he saw this man of all the men, just screams the love of God to me. He sees you all in your situation. You are not invisible. And he knows this man's struggle. You catch that? It says that Jesus knows how long. He already knows. The guy didn't even have to say, please me, right? It's 38 years for me. No, Jesus already knew when he saw him. He said, he knew what he was going through. And what does he say to him? Do you want to be made well? Man, Jesus asks a lot of really silly questions, doesn't he? I mean, the guy's laying by the pool. He's probably pretty stinky. He's probably been there a long time. Most likely, he's been there the majority of that 38 years. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Made well. Other translations, New King or the King James will say made whole. Okay, now I want to tell you something about made well. There's a difference between just being healed and being made well. There's a lot of, we can receive healing in a lot of ways, but being made well, this means for something to come into existence. Something that's not there to come into existence. It means for something to begin to be or for us to receive. So do you want to receive the healing? Do you want this healing to begin to come into being? Do you want to see this healing come into existence in your life? And it might sound like a silly question, but let's look at how the guy responds in verse 7. The sick man answered him, saying, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Do you want to be made well? Did he respond with yes? Nope, he sure didn't. Instead, he gives all the reasons why he keeps missing out. Right? He gives all the reasons why it hasn't worked in the past. He gives all the reasons of what he's already tried that has not worked. And I get that he's missing the point, but I think that right here shows us a place that we find ourselves far too often. That God may be speaking, do you want to be made well? And it's like, well, I've already been to the doctor. Do you want to be made well? Well, I've tried this medication. Do you want to be made well? Well, I did have this person pray for me once. Do you want to be made well? Well, I did go to this specialist. And we never actually answer that question. But we continue to let God know all the things that we've already done, the things we've already experienced. And when we think about this, when he says, do you want to be made well? This is the heartbreaker, is that ultimately sometimes I think the answer for us is no. Ultimately, I think sometimes we don't want to be made well. And I know that sounds ridiculous. But sometimes you can be a little bit afraid of what life is going to be like once you're made well. Sometimes your sickness becomes your identity. It becomes who you are. It becomes what your life is about, right? I mean, listen, I've been in situations where we've chased and still are in some ways going to doctors for different things and waiting for a real answer, but we continue to pray and continue to have faith. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen people that their whole life has been about their sickness. When you talk to them, it's what they'll talk to you about. When they are doing things, that's all they're doing is dealing with the sickness, researching the sickness. It's their whole life revolves around it. Their whole prayer life is about the sickness. Everything's about it. And honestly, there's a part of them that thinks, what am I going to do when I get healed? Right? Like, what am I going to do? My life would be radically different. I don't even know what I would talk to people about anymore. I mean, picture this guy, 38 years. You know, when they were laying there on those mats, they weren't laying there in silence. It was probably like, oh, I've got this. What do you got? Oh, well, mine's worse. I've had it this long. You know how it goes when people start to talk about what's ailing them? It's like they start trying to one-up each other. And so there could be this little bit of fear here that's like, you know, do I really want this healing? Because do I really want my life to be changed? I can promise you that if things change, they'll change for your good. Just let it go, right? Receive it and move on. And then you know you'll be criticized, right? Especially if you go and tell somebody that Jesus healed you, you're going to be criticized. They're going to say, but did he really? Are you sure? Like, were you also taking medication? It was probably that. It's this or that. Were you even really sick? You might get that too. I'm just telling you. This is part of the reason why we might say no to, do you want to be healed? It might be the reason why we just don't answer. We go off on a tangent like this man here did. Do you want to be made well? Verse 8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and he said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Now, immediately, right? Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, right here, we don't see this man ever say yes with his mouth. We don't ever see that recorded in here. But we do see him say yes by his actions, because he did get up. He did get up. And it says he got up and immediately he was made well. This was a display of faith. It was his faith in action. And then he took his bed and he walked. And look at what the religious people said to him. Man, this is, wasn't Sunday, it was Saturday then, but it'd be like today. This is Sunday. You can't get healed on a Sunday. You can't be carrying that bed around on a Sunday. This is the Lord's day, man. This is the day you're supposed to be resting. And you think about how stupid and how ridiculous that is, but this is what he gets. But I love his answer. Well, he who made me well said, take your bed and walk. And I don't know about you, but he who made me well, I'm listening to him. Right? I'm not listening to you guys. I'm listening to the one who made me well. And he said, take your bed and walk. So I know I'm breaking the law here, but like God told me to do it. And so I'm going to do it. It's going to be okay. And think about the significance here. When you were sick in those days, man, your bed, your mat that you had was so significant because it was a mark of your illness. It was what you laid around on. And so this thing you would lay on, think about it. This is what he laid on for probably 38 years while he was crying because of his illness, while he was complaining to the people to the right and to the left, while he was getting passed over because someone else jumped up and got in that pool before they could help him down in there. This is the mat that he would lay on and he would dream for a healing. This is the mat he would lay on and he would just hope that one day I'm going to be able to get up off of this mat. This is the mat he laid on that hard ground, on that rock, on that stone, this mat that carried him through all those years, right? I mean, it would have been a lot harder without that mat through those years. This mat carried him through those years, and now here he is carrying around the mat, right? He says the tables have turned because I've had an encounter with the living God. This mat that's carried me, I carry it around. You know what? I do it with pride. I do it because the one who made me well said, pick it up and carry it and go walk. Go walk around. Go show somebody what the Lord has done. It'd be like today, somebody coming in here with crutches and God heals them and they go and they just carry them around. They go to Casey's and they got the crutches over their shoulder. They go to Dollar General, they got the crutches and they're just, people are like, what are you doing? Like, why are you carrying those crutches? Right? I mean, imagine what this man is going through now. Hey, wait a minute. Weren't you that guy? Like, you were that guy that laid by the pool and just cried all the time and has had that disease for all those years. What are you doing? I mean, think about the opportunities that this mat gives for him to be able to say what the Lord has done in his life. Verse 12, they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed, listen to this, did not know who it was. for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Do you catch that? He didn't even know it was Jesus. He didn't know who it was at the side of the pool. And Jesus comes and finds him and he says, See, you've been made well. I don't know about you, but Jesus gave him a little time to test it out. You know what? You didn't even know who I was, but you received the healing. Now let's see where your faith is at. Let's see if you continue to walk around you got to imagine. This guy doesn't have a job. This guy doesn't have a home. This guy doesn't have food. And I'll tell you what, the easiest way for him to get those things is to lay back down on that mat. That's the easiest way for him to get some food is to lay back down on that mat. He's not worried about food. He's not worried about a job. He's not worried about where he's going to live. He's thinking, I just got healed. Something just happened in my life, and Jesus gives him this time to kind of process it and make it through it. And he says, "See, you've been made well." It's real. This is the real deal. And then he says, "Go and sin no more, so something worse doesn't come upon you." And then the man in verse 15 departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. He goes to the Jews. The Jews hated Jesus. The Jews hated what he was doing, the ruckus he was causing, the way he was stirring up things, the way he was healing on the Sabbath. You know how many things Jesus did on the Sabbath? Over and over and over, they're like, "Dude, it's the Sabbath. Like, knock it off. We don't even care when you do it. If you quit doing it on the Sabbath, you're kind of causing a problem. This is our day, right? This is the day where people come to us." And he goes and he tells all the Jews, "It was Jesus that did this to me." I mean, think about how this is for his life right here. And he gives glory to God. He says, "It was him. I had an encounter." This is what we've got to do when we receive healing. We tell others what Jesus has done and carry that mat. Now, I want to tell you that not all healings look the same, okay? Because clearly there's nobody here that's been laying on a mat for 38 years. I didn't see anybody get carried in here this morning. If that's you, you're doing a good job of sitting upright. But that's not your case, okay? So I can get that, where you can see that and say, "Well, that's not me." But I want to tell you, you need to be careful that it's not you that doesn't want to actually get well. Okay, because that was a lot of these people's problem. They didn't want to get well. But not all healings look the same. And I'm going to kind of run through these again. They're on that paper with many, many more. I think there's like 23 or 24. But we have this nobleman's son in John chapter 4. And this guy, if you remember, he comes to Jesus. The dad does. And he runs to Jesus and he begs him, "Will you heal my son?" And Jesus says, "Go your way, your son lives." The man believed what Jesus said. And as he went, his servants came saying, "Your son lives." This is an example of somebody standing in the gap for somebody else. "Hey, I know somebody. I have somebody who's dear to me. They need healing. Jesus, can you do it?" "Absolutely, go." And as he went in faith, believing that it was done, it was done. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes to Peter's house. A lot of people ask, were any of the disciples married? You find out right here that at least Peter was. It says that he saw Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, sick, touched her hand. Immediately, the fever left and she got up and served them. And later on in that, the next two verses, they bring many to him who were healed. So here's the verse that if you get healed, get up and make whoever healed you some food. No, that's not what he's getting at. But it just shows you the immediate healing. She felt well enough to like, "Man, I do feel good. All right, we want something to eat?" Right? I mean, like, that's permanent, complete healing right there instantly. Matthew 8, a leper came worshiping and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." and immediately he was cleansed. Think about this. You didn't touch a leper because what would happen? You would get it. You would become a leper. Leprosy was contagious. It was nasty. It was the worst disease to the point that they were marked unclean. That's why when Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cleansing the lepers is its own category, right? Because it's they're not only were they sick, but the whole society declared them unclean. Don't go near them. They're unworthy. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Matthew 8, verse 5, a centurion comes to Jesus asking him to heal his servant. Jesus says, yeah, I'll come. And the guy says, no, I'm not worthy of you to come in my house. I'm not worthy for you to come, but if you would just speak the word, he would be healed. And Jesus is amazed by his faith. He's amazed by his faith, and he says, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Matthew 9, a woman with the issue of blood. Another long-standing issue, right? The issue of blood for 12 years. She comes, and if you remember, she's in this crowd, and it says that she pressed her way through, right? She fought and just whatever she could do to get through there, and she's like, if I could just touch the edge of his robe, I will be healed. And Jesus felt the power go out of him, and he turned around, not in Matthew and one of the other accounts, but he turned around and he said, who touched me, right? And she's like, it was me, right? I just knew if I could just touch that, like if I could, I do picture you actually in that situation, my sister, she'd be like, it was me, sorry. But she's just like, I knew if I could just touch your garment, that I would be healed. And he said to her, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour, right? From that point on, it was a done work. It was completed. Luke chapter 17, 10 lepers come to Jesus. They're crying out from a distance. And he goes by and he says, go show yourself to the priest, right? He didn't even do anything. He didn't even pray. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed again. So the step of obedience here. John chapter 9, a man who was born blind. And this is where it's going to get a little bit crazy. And some of you are not going to want to come down to the altar call. But unless God tells me to, I'm not going to do these two things, okay? But the man was born blind. Jesus spit on the ground and he made some clay from the dirt. And he rubbed it in the blind man's eyes, okay? And he told him then, he's like, now go wash it off in the pool. You remember what the pool is like? I mean, first of all, you spit in some dirt and you rubbed it in my eyes. Now you want me to go to that stinky pool. And the man went and he washed and he came back seeing, okay? Mark chapter 8, last one I'm sharing this morning. Verse 22, a blind man comes. Jesus took him out of town and he spit directly in his eyes. He didn't even use any dirt this time. He's like, spit right in his eyes and laid his hands on them. And he said, do you see anything? And he's like, well, kind of. Like, I can see these, like men walking. It looks like trees. I mean, men walking looks like trees is not real great vision, but I suppose it's better than just darkness. It's better than just black. And so Jesus puts his hands on his eyes again, and he made him look up, and it said his sight was restored and he saw everyone clearly. So what I'm getting at with sharing all these things is healing does not always look the same. And this is where we lose it a lot of time. We all expect if we're going to come to somebody and receive prayer that instantly we're healed, we're well, we're fine. We walk out the door skipping and jumping like hallelujah, throw my crutches over my shoulder. It's not always the same in every situation. Sometimes it's instantly. Sometimes we see it's as you go, right? You receive it, and as you go, it takes place. We see that sometimes it begins immediately, but it's completed over time. We see sometimes you have to do something in obedience, like go and wash in the pool. Other times you may have to have hands laid on you again. Okay? These are not necessarily bad or wrong or failures or any of these things. And I'll tell you why healing is not preached enough in the church today. It's because too many people are afraid of failure. It's because a pastor will stand up here and say, God can heal. And then you come to an altar and you don't get healed. And then what do we have to do? We have to come up with some logical reason why that didn't happen. And that's when people start getting condemned. You didn't have enough faith. Well, you were probably living in sin. Well, you this. Well, you that. No, it's not about those things. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and his healing power. It's about his will and his desire to heal. And why it doesn't happen instantly for every person every time, I don't know. Why didn't it happen for these people all instantly every time? I don't know. I don't have to have that answer. You don't have to have that answer. What we've got to have is the faith that God can do it. What we've got to have is the faith that his desire is to do it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if he has a leper come to him and the leper says, if you're willing, and he says, I am willing, he's willing for you. Right? I mean, because a leper was marked unclean. Don't touch him, don't go near him. And he says, I am willing. Back to that do you believe thing, right? It's not about do I have enough faith. Let's just kill that one today. It's not about do I have enough faith. It's just about do you have any? Do you believe? It's not about do you believe more. It's do you believe? I mean, if do you believe I'm standing here right now? Right? Okay, I'm not a hologram. Look, I mean, I'm not like cutting up. Like, okay, now believe more that I'm here right now. You can't do it. I mean, that would be stupid of me to be like, believe more that I'm actually here and present. We don't need to believe more. We just need to believe. We just need to have faith. We just need to know that Jesus is who he said he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And if we believe it, then it comes down to just receiving it. Okay? It comes down to receiving it. Don't pray if it's your will. I will not pray over you at the altar, Lord, if it's your will. Because I'm going to tell you what if it's your will is. That's doubt. That's doubt. Because God only answers prayers that are according to his will. Let him decide if it's according to his will. I don't want to have that doubt for you. I don't want you to have that doubt because we're just wasting our time. Lord, heal in the name of Jesus. That's the authority that we have by the power of his spirit. And we'll let him decide if it's his will. Because I'll tell you what, it is his will to heal. Maybe it's not his timing, but I'm not getting into all that. My job is just to pray, to heal the sick. And it's by his power and his power alone. Because listen, again, it may not look the way that we think it should. Sometimes it's a process. Think about this. Healing is a process, but every process has a beginning. It's got to start somewhere. Why not start with a nugget of faith right here today? Why not say, you know what? I don't know what this looks like. Quite frankly, I might even be a little bit scared and uncertain. But you know what? This process has to start somewhere. So why not have it start today? Do you trust God enough to stay in the process even if you don't see the proof? Do you trust him just enough to stay with the process even if you don't see the proof? Because you have to trust his process to experience his promise. You got to trust his process to experience his promise. So the question is, do you want to be healed? That's what every person needs to ask this morning. Ask of themselves an answer this morning. Do you want to be healed? Are you ready for change? Do you believe that he can do it? Do you believe that you will receive it this morning? If you would stand to your feet. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It avails much. You know, sometimes this takes a little step of swallowing our pride, right? Sometimes this takes a little bit of swallowing our pride because, and I got this, I'll get through it, right? Just a little bit longer. I'm doing all right so far. But man, imagine a moment where God is willing to touch you and willing to heal you, and yet you step away and you walk out of here and you don't receive it just because you refuse to humble yourself. And that's a bad spot to be in. I mean, that's a bad spot to be in. We've got to believe that healing is here. I'm going to tell you this morning, this isn't anything magic. This isn't anything that, it's no power that I possess. We're just going to do what the Bible says. If you're sick and you want healing this morning, the elders will anoint you with oil. We will pray for you. And we're just going to believe. We're going to believe that God does his perfect work and that we'll receive healing this morning. Do you believe that, church? Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful to your word. And Lord, we pray that this morning that you would show your love and your grace to your people. That, Father, those who need to receive healing this morning, those who have something they're dealing with, or maybe they want to be like the centurion and they want to come forward on behalf of one of their family members or their friends or neighbor. God, we just believe that as we come in faith, Lord, we believe that you're going to show your love and your grace this morning. God, as we read all these examples, all these times where Jesus healed the people and then he gave us the command and he said, now go and heal the sick. Lord, we're going to be obedient to our part this morning. We just want to give way to you, and we want you to have your way this morning. So, Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts this morning. You know who in here needs something, needs a touch from you today. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about you and your power. It's about you receiving the glory for what you're going to do. And so we trust you with it this morning. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.